The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Beyond and hello, everyone. My name is Jonathan Dornbush, and this is Podcast Beyond, episode 666, The Number of the Beast. And the beast has arisen, the PlayStation 5, because we actually have so much to talk about this week. I can't believe it, but we're finally here. We can finally talk about the price, the release date, launch games. There's still some stuff we don't know, but we'll get to that in a second. But before we jump into all of the PS5 news to actually talk about this week, I'm joined by Max Scoville.
Hello.
Lucy O'Brien.
Hello.
And Janet Garcia.
What's good?
Hey, everyone. The first thing I want to ask you all before we jump in, and Lucy, I do want to start with you since I know there's a bit of a story to it. Were you able to pre-order a PS5 in the hellstorm that was the hours after that event?
Well, my story's kind of boring and I don't want to go all Grandpa Simpson with it, but I do just want to like say that I am currently moving apartments. So that was terrible, terrible timing. The movers are coming today and like we were just like desperately packing last night, so I did not get a chance to pre-order a PS5, and I really want one. I don't think it's necessary to have a PS5 at launch. We can get into that later, but like I selfishly want one in this hell in this hell year, in this absolute mother year. I want a PlayStation 5 at launch. And so I was really gutted. And this morning I tweeted out that, you know, I was gutted because obviously there was scarcity and I didn't get one. And then Janet Garcia, you legend, you utter angel, stepped up and said that you had that she had an extra. And so now I am the proud owner of a pre-order for a PlayStation 5 fat boy. And I'm very, very happy.
I love that we're never going to refer to these things as their official names. But
I like to call it the Preggers edition. I think it's with child and it's expecting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was
called Chonk.
The Big Chonk. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been calling that thing the baby bump all of yesterday.
I think that's a good discussion. Is it pregnant or does it have a big ass?
No. As I said back in the day, it's several episodes ago, it's got a hernia because it's sticking out the side. It's got like an uncomfortable, painful hernia.
A goiter?
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
I think I got a pre-order. I don't know. I did the thing where I was like, I got to see, like, I went to that landing page that like somebody, like we had, you know, a bunch of people from the product team. Like we're in addition to being like, oh, this is an important business thing we should be doing, like, because we work in games. We also, you know, are on a Slack channel with all these people who work on the IGN commerce team and people who are tracking deals and pre-orders and trying to link that stuff out. So we have people from all directions being like, it's up on Target. Oh, it's up on Best Buy. It's live now. It's, you know, click here. Here's the landing page. It's not up yet, but go here. I went to one for Amazon and it was dead and it would just kept showing me different dogs of Amazon. And I was just like refreshing that and just looking at all these different pictures of dogs. And I was like, wow, that's great. And then I was just like sitting there. It was weird. I had it was a broken, you know, like page not found or whatever. And I was sitting there on my computer, just like fiddling with like a model kit or something. And it just suddenly turned into a PS5 landing page, just like out of the blue. And I was like, is it up? And I like scrolled down. It was just basic info. Like it was just the holding page. And then I had a cursed event. I think it's weird that this is like episode 666. And this is like, this thing is happening. Last night, I swear to God, in the course of like 3 minutes, everything happened at once. I was in the middle of recording my other podcast, The Comedy Button. My wife is upstairs painting the living room. And I swear to God, in like this same stretch of time, Brian sends me a text message being like, they're up on Amazon. And I'm like, oh, I better go to that. My internet cuts out. I'm hardwired in. So I get dropped off of the podcast I'm on. I hear like crashing and banging upstairs. And then the dog comes to the door and he's got this weird like white mark on his forehead. And I'm like, what is that? And he's covered in paint. And I find out that like at this exact, and then also I smell like just foul skunk smell. And I'm like, what Looney Tunes calamity happened at like the stroke of me pre-ordering a PS5?
Oh my God.
And apparently like the cat ran through paint and then the dog tried to fight the cat and then the cat hit the dog and he's got the paint mark. So there's my Grandpa Simpson story. And I had an onion tied to my belt, as was the fact.
Well, what? No, where did the skunk smell come from?
No, my neighbor's dog got skunked and it's like the air was nice for the first time in 6 weeks. So we had all our windows open. So it just smells like just full of weed. It's just awful. Just horrible. Rotten egg party.
I really hope someone out there animates that whole scenario because that is amazing. Oh my God, yes.
Congrats on your maybe PS5 order.
And then I got a notification email from Amazon being like, congratulations, you have a pre-order of a non-existent, like maybe you have it. And then I like on my phone, I got like this weird error where it's like, that seller doesn't have these things. And I was like, well, which is it? So, yeah. I mean, the fact is I don't have a PlayStation 5. But I do have a pre-order of a PlayStation 5, unless they cancel the pre-order. So it's really like Schrodinger's PlayStation. Like I don't like until I have exist. It, I don't have it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It is that weird, scary thing that I know a lot of people were able to get pre-orders yesterday. And I did. But I do have that thing in the back of my head. I'm like, well, it's 55 days away. They could cancel it whenever they want. Because obviously those pre-orders were not well planned, and we can get into that in a little bit. But before we move on from it, Janet, you obviously were able to get one as well.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I don't have any too many hijinks associated with my experience. I was on Slack at the time, which is what we used to talk at work, and I was about to do some wikis thing. And then immediately, like, I see the notification as soon as it comes in of, hey, pre-orders are up on Walmart, probably from Justin or someone on the deals team, and they're updating their pages as well. So I click it and I'm like, all right, well, I guess we'll just go with Walmart. And the only thing that was kind of wild, though, I mentioned this before we did the pre and post show for the live show, but I gave my card to my brother so he could pre-order it if it went live during the show. And then when they said it'll be tomorrow, I didn't bother to get the card back. So he was asleep. I burst into the room like Kool-Aid Man style. And I'm like, where's the card? And he's like, oh, it's by the coffee thing. And I look,
wake up, give me money, back at PlayStation right now, get up bed, give me a card.
Exactly. And then he's like waking up, he's disoriented, stressed out, kind of mad. But then he got kind of into it because like he also loves games. So I pre-ordered that and I locked that in pretty much immediately, which it was nice, but it was also Walmart. So I'm like, I've been burnt. I will never forgive Walmart ever since I tried to pre-order one of the additional drops of the Last of Us 2 Ellie edition, because my boyfriend like loves PlayStation, loves Last of Us 2, or like loves Last of Us. And I wanted to get that for him as a gift and I got it and I was so excited. I was so proud of myself. I'm like, oh, he's going to be so happy about this. And then they're like, oh, we canceled it like the next day. And I'm like, well, never mind then. This is why we can't have nice things. So I'm a little jaded from that. So I also went and got the Amazon one at night. That one was pretty relaxed because I was already just chilling like in bed already. And I'm like, oh, I guess I might as well get another one just in case because this Walmart one's a little jank anyway. Meanwhile, my boyfriend pre-ordered so many different ones because he really wanted the digital. If you wanted the digital, it was a hellscape.
So hard to find. Yeah.
Did anyone here get the digital? I got the physical, no. So it wasn't that bad. The digital was like impossible physical. To pre-order.
I weirdly, like, I don't know about you guys, but like I haven't bought a physical disc in a long, 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 long time. I have no interest in amassing a library because most of the things that I play digitally. Yet there was, I mean, you know, there was just a very strong part of me that just wanted to spend an extra $100 on the physical one. I don't know why. I can't even tell you why. I just wanted the bigger one.
Yeah, for me.
Why did you guys want the bigger one?
I got it because one, I bought the PS4 Pro thinking it would play 4K Blu-rays. And when I bought it, Best Buy was having a sale. So I bought several 4K Blu-rays, which have just been sitting in a drawer because I can't use them. And I bought it with the rationale that like I was looking at other 4K Blu-ray players and all of them are over $100 for the most part. And so it is worth it to buy it just in case I decide to buy more 4K Blu-rays.
Just in case, huh?
It's just in case.
That day might come.
Yeah. Well,
what is the first 4K Blu-ray you're going to watch? I have so many 4K Blu-rays that I sometimes watch, but I don't, but I have like my, I have an Xbox One S that I like, sometimes I'm like, I'll turn that on to watch a 4K Blu-ray, but mostly I'll just watch regular Blu-rays. But like, I'm excited to have a machine that I enjoy turning on that I can put the 4K Blu-ray, so I can watch Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets. No, like, Lucy, you knocked this, but like, I don't know, like, I still occasionally will jump on like a collector's edition of a movie I love. Like, I've bought, how many times have I bought F-word Akira? Like, I bought it, I'm totally getting that when they do like a UHD version of that. Like, I bought the 40th anniversary Alien, and it's the first time that movie has looked bad because it's finally a high enough resolution that you can see all of like the dry brushing.
No, you're absolutely right. I think it's, you know, it is contextual for me because I've just lived a bit of a transient life in the last few years, you know, moving from Australia to the United States. I just shed all of my, anything that I collected, I just shed. I just gave away, left behind, right?
So that's my logic for having physical, is that you can get rid of it. Whereas with digital, you just accumulate, like I have, I'm like weirdly irked that in my library I have like icons for betas I was part of in 2013. You know, like it's oh, like the pre-alpha for Destiny, and I was like, "Yeah, get that out of here. That's not one of my games. That doesn't count." But like with physical games, if there's something I don't care about, I'm just like, I either go someplace that's still in business to trade it in, or I just give it away, or send it to Goodwill, or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I like about it too. I think it offers more flexibility. I've also been very in the vagabond life, and part of that has required also just selling a lot of my game collection. Like I love physical media, but I definitely, when I freelanced, I was extremely broke and I made about $600 to $1,000 a month before taxes. So I'm like, you know what? It's time to get rid of, you know, Bowser's Inside Story, because I'd rather have the $10 at GameStop than the game that I haven't played like in ages. And I really like that flexibility. Plus you can share them. And I think with the collector's editions too, with games, I also just feel like in general, I know I won't feel like I'm missing out on anything if I have the physical, but there's a risk that, like, I don't know, maybe I see like I want the options. I think the flexibility, even if you're not like a huge fan of physical media the way I am, I kind of just try to get everything physical that I can. It just, you know, it's nice to have the option. You don't have to ever worry about it.
That's what it is. And, you know, I was thinking about it. That's what it is. It's just FOMO for me. I didn't want, like, I know someone would say something, like Max would say something about his Valerian Blu-ray and it would get into my head. And then I'd be all like, oh, damn, I should have pre-ordered the fat one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like, here's the thing. Like, the last game I bought, I think, was Dark Souls 3. And I bought it physical for $14 on Amazon because it was $60 digitally. And like, again, sometimes it's on sale for like, you know, you can get Battlefront 2 for like $375 whenever EA has like a weird moment of charity. And they're like, yeah, everything's on sale. Have fun. So, Battlefield Hardline is -$2. I will give you money to play or whatever. But like,
Max, are you saying that we're saving money? Because that's what I like to hear. Like, just tell me that I saved money.
Here's the thing. The digital version is for, I like how we just totally like blew past all the actual announcements. And we're just,
I was going to get to the dates, but we,
but no, the digital version is $400. And if you buy three first party games at $69.99 a pop, suddenly you are what, like pushing $600 in the hole, and Sony gets all of that money. Whereas if you get a physical version and you stick around and wait till so-and-so puts something on sale physically on Black Friday, and then you're giving, Sony's still getting a cut of that, but you're giving Target or Walmart or, you know, Newegg or whoever, like you're giving them money for this physical thing. And like, I mean, it's, I don't know. Like, I guess that there's that in the long run, like if I'm able to get like a game for $7 that I skipped when it came out at launch, then like, cool. And like, if it's on sale digitally, I can still get it digitally. But like, if I can get it physically, then I can get it physically. I don't know. It's, and I can watch Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets.
Yeah. The biggest selling point.
Exactly. Yeah. Valerian is going to be
for $7 on Newegg probably.
Yeah, maybe even less. It's exactly that for me too. Like for PS4, it's been on sale recently, but it wasn't for a while. So I bought a physical copy of Infamous Second Son because it was like $5 online one day. And I was like, oh, I don't have this in my library because I sold my last physical copy, but here I can get it back for $5 instead of $20 on PSN. So yeah, it is that flexibility, but the digital edition, at least when you first buy it, you're like, oh, I'm saving. So I can see why people want to go for the digital edition, because it is $100 cheaper for the same console. This has sort of been a thing I know some people are unsure of, but aside from the like physical dimensions of the console and the lack of a disc drive, the digital edition and the physical edition are the same. As Janet was mentioning, though, it seemed like the digital edition was much more difficult to pre-order. Obviously, GameStop and Target and Walmart and Best Buy probably don't want to sell you a console that makes them irrelevant. So I'm not surprised there was less of a stock at those stores.
Yeah. Really quick, too. I know we're trying to kind of continue on with the rest of the news, but it was wild. I actually went to a GameStop, like a physical GameStop, because I really want to secure pre-orders, and my boyfriend still didn't have his digital edition. So I figured I can check out what's going on. We drove over. It's like not too long of a drive from my apartment, maybe like 10 minutes. We're in the lot where the GameStop is, in like those plazas, because GameStops are always in plazas. They're never just a standalone establishment. And there was a line out the door on the street, like dozens of people lined up.
Wow.
So I like get out of the car immediately. I'm like, you find parking. I'm going to go get in line so we can try to make this thing happen. And I can finally renew my Power Up Pro card because that expired a long time ago. And I want that Game Informer magazine. So I got in there. And then, but they sold out really quickly. Like someone came out and was like, hey, like, it's all gone. But I couldn't really hear them because I was so far back. I'm like, I'll just go in and ask anyway. And I think they only had like the rumor on the street is that they really only had like two or three digital ones available per store versus like 10 plus physical. So like that's another element of where the digital was just super scarce.
Yes, I shall take one of your digital only consoles and one paper magazine subscription, please.
I'm like, you know what? Don't judge me.
I mean, GameStop wouldn't have seen that kind of action in a long time.
Yeah, they're probably just happy to be able to sell these at all. But it's definitely not a surprise that the digital was more difficult to find, even though I think that's probably the console in the long run Sony would rather you buy, because you can only buy games from them. But that said, as Max was mentioning, price for digital is $399. Physical is $499. The release date is November 12th in U.S., South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, Japan, I believe one or two other territories, and then November 19th in the rest of the world. So if you live in the rest of the world, I'm sorry, you have to wait a week for the PS5. I know they had originally said they were going to shoot for a global launch. Obviously, this is at least this is only a week apart, not like a month apart or anything drastic. But I just was out of curiosity. Does anyone have any strong feelings, I think, on price or the release date in particular? Xbox is coming out November 10th. Cyberpunk is November 19th, so it's kind of like smack dab in the middle of everything else happening. But I think it was as good a date as they probably could have picked.
Yeah, I have no strong feelings on that date. It was just an average date. I mean, I think that everyone, like, you know, when they were predicting the date, like everyone was sort of like one day off if they weren't bang on the money.
Yeah, I had guessed the 13th, which would be that Friday, but people are going to buy Call of Duty that day anyway. So
I remember back when we were in the studio 6 months ago or whatever, trying to predict the release date. And I think we all made like five or six predictions each. We just were like just guessing random days in October through November, September, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, there's other stuff that's happening in early November that my mind is more focused on, but like, I'm excited, whatever the scenario is, to get like a shiny new box. And I feel like Lucy was saying, like this year has, just like suck turds out of a toilet. Like it's been real bad. And it's definitely like a luxury and a privilege to be able to buy a brand new video game machine at launch. That said, to throw a few $100 at a thing that will be like a wonderful surprise. It'll be like, actually that's a week after my birthday. So hell yeah. Like that'll be like a late birthday present. And I'll be like, ooh, surprise. Like thanks past me, you know, thanks. Thanks September Max. Good thinking, you know,
adulthood's kind of sad, isn't it? There's not much whimsy here. It's like, I remember ordering this for myself. The price is amazing. You know, we talked about this on the live show, but it's as good as you could ask for without just totally dreaming and saying like 300, because cheaper is nice. Like other than that, like I was really surprised they hit that $500 mark on their most expensive model. And for like the digital to be four, and like you said, essentially the same console, like that is just such a good price. I'm very content on the price.
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that it is not adjusted in any way, like there is sort of, aside from the disc drive, there are no more concessions taken with the digital edition is remarkable, because it means that people who perhaps are on a budget, who are like, you know, who have sort of budgeted for a next gen machine but don't want to go that extra mile, can afford this thing. Like I think that that's amazing. Like I think that the entry level for a next gen machine, a top tier next gen machine, has been lowered. And I think that's only a good thing, especially in 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things where I think a lot of people will bring up, and it's a lengthier conversation, but the Series S, of course, being at 300. But I do think the Series S is marketed toward a different audience and is being billed as a different, that is like a entry point if you want a Game Pass machine. Like, in my mind, it is either a great second console if you're a PlayStation player, or if you really can't afford that extra 100, you can buy that for 300, subscribe to Game Pass, and then you have this library. And I think it works as that specific use case for people who maybe just want to have that option. I think that works great. But yeah, as you were saying, I think for people who want the like sort of top tier next gen experience from the jump, being able to find it for $400. And if not, you may be so wrapped up in the hype, you just go buy the $500 version, which Sony probably hopes for. I think really makes a lot of sense. I personally don't think all of the Xbox announcements last week affected like long-term plans of Sony's for this event, but I do wonder if Sony would have gone higher if they felt they could get away with it. Does anyone else feel that way, that like if they could have gone to 600 they would have, or do you think they always would have tried to stick to like 500, whether to cut undercut Xbox if they had gone higher or just to match them?
I mean, I think it was such a selling point, that lower price point is like, for me, you know, the literal selling point is a selling point for the machine, right? And I think that when you're saying, hey, you know, again, these are coming out in the holiday period. For anyone out there who worked in retail, in video game retail like myself, you know what it's like when people come in and they're like, okay, I want to get the next console for my son, for my, you know, granddaughter or whatever. And they see that the next gen console is $400. Like that to me is that's it. That's the one you buy, right? Like, I think that a lot of people, yes, do their research around these sorts of things. And yes, the Xbox and the PlayStation are, the plan is very different. The plan for both machines, for both generations, is very different. But for the casual buyer, I think that, the lower price is just, it's amazing. It's fantastic. It is the selling point in my mind. Yeah. Like, beyond the games, it's the selling point.
Yeah, yeah. And we're definitely going to get to the games for, I think, the large part of the remainder of the episode. Before we move on from price and date, I did want to just ask one other pre-order thing. Obviously, there was some weird pre-order messaging that went on for a while now. Xbox has said, like, hey, pre-orders are going to open on September 22nd. We'll give you the timing when we have it. With PlayStation, there was no pre-order mention in the reveal event showcase. And just side note, I do want to say thank you to everyone who tuned in to the IGN live coverage of that. I should have said this at the top, but we had over 100,000 people watching on YouTube. There were other people on IGN, more people on Twitch, everywhere. It was awesome to have so many people watching along with us. So thank you to everyone who tuned in. We had a blast covering it. But yeah, so of course, during that whole event, there was no pre-order information. And then we came out of it in the live show. We were like, Jeff Keighley broke that the pre-orders are starting later today, maybe. And then PlayStation tweeted the pre-orders start tomorrow. And then Walmart tweeted out the shh emoji and then put up the pre-orders. And then the floodgates sort of opened. And yeah, Best Buy and Target and Amazon.
I hated it. It was such a disaster. It was, you know who it was run by? It was like that pimple. Breaking voice kid on The Simpsons. Like, he was in charge of that whole thing. He had a red button in front of him, and he hit the red button and just chaos ensued. It was so ill thought out. It's like, who the hell was behind that clusterfuck? It was such a disaster.
Especially after Sony's marketing lead specifically saying in an interview, you will not be surprised by pre-orders. We will not thrust them.
Yeah, just make sure you follow Jeff Keighley and he'll alert you to the pre-orders.
Exactly.
The secret is to never trust any company with anything.
Don't trust anything at all.
Just don't trust anybody. Trust was a mistake. It was. Yeah. The skeptics were like, I was right. And that was also me, partially, admittedly. Because I'm like, I was very surprised because I didn't have my card ready, you know? But it was just so wild to be told it's fine. And then like literally minutes later, it isn't fine. Like that turnaround was bizarre. But, you know, I talk a lot about how I'm a big fan of Nintendo. So this kind of pain and pressure is well known to me. I'm okay, let's go. We're just going to be desperate for a company that clearly doesn't care about me. And I'm okay with that. This is who I am. Welcome, right?
The Buster Scruggs meme where James Franco has the noose on and he's like, oh, it's your first time? That was just so good.
That was my brother's idea. He's like, you got to put this up because it's so funny. But it's so true. So it was hell. It was hell on earth, run by Walmart, which makes sense because Walmart's admittedly pretty evil. And I was just shocked at the gall, honestly. Like, Walmart literally tweeted out, you thought we were going to have you wait for the PS5? No, pre-order right here. And they just sort of, like, for lack of a less gender term, put their balls on the table and just let everything burn and take up all this money. It was just, like, mind-blowingly mad.
I'm curious about the business. Like, do you think that was that a deal that they made with Sony, or was that them being like, we'll piss off Sony, but it'll be worth it in the long run? Or if that was part of the plan, that was a bad plan. But if that wasn't part of the plan, then that's kind of bonkers.
For me, it read as Walmart saying, what is Sony going to do? Not let us sell the PS5. And we want to make the money. Like, this was unfortunately capitalism at work. And Walmart is such a massive entity in North America. I don't know their reach whatsoever outside of America, but
everyone outside of America just knows Walmart because Walmart sells guns like it sells candy, right?
Exactly.
That's Walmart's reputation. When they do a little cute hush emoji, I just wanted to smack them, you know?
Yeah, but to me, it absolutely read as like them saying Sony probably didn't maybe message this on the back end to their partners, like on the retail side, very well, I would guess. And so Walmart just said, well, screw it. We have the button.
Hold on. I'm actually really curious about this, like, because we see Walmart Canada regularly like spoil Bethesda's entire E3 showcase. Like, they just come out and they're like, world premiere. Oops, pre-order page is up. Pray 2 or whatever. Like, they consistently do that. And I can't help but wonder if that's like one of those things where it's sort of, you know, they run the numbers and they're like, well, again, this will piss people off, but it also associates our storefront with this new thing. And it also is basically free advertising because every website picks up Walmart Canada leaked this. And suddenly it's like, oh, you're linking to a Walmart page or showing a screenshot of it and making people here we are talking about Walmart for free.
Let's stop immediately.
I was just gonna say, you could probably count the number of people on one hand who said, I'm not going to buy it because they broke the rule. Like, no one said, I'm not going to buy a PS5 because they went early. People went
to thrive in a broken system. You also have to succumb to corruption. I think the sooner we just accept that, the sooner you'll get your PS5.
I wish when I'd moved here, Janet, I wish when I'd moved here, they just told me that at the border control, I would have
it makes things a lot smoother. Like, let's not think about this too deeply and just eat the hot dog. Like, let's But I have to imagine that there's some sort of like level of understanding on what to do, but that maybe legally there's not a whole lot Sony can do, I imagine. I think there might be like also weird retail rules in place where once something has a price and you have a level of stock, you are allowed to put it up for pre-order, I think. Could also be the case, but I really haven't looked into it too deeply. One thing I was mentioning right before we started recording was I remember back when Nintendo did this, they sort of had their thing more in the evening so that like a lot of retailers were already closed. So like I knew, okay, well, there's sort of a mad dash now to get the Switch online, but I can also just like go to a GameStop and or a Best Buy first thing in the morning. And I just spent my morning driving to different locations with my family to try to like get our pre-order secured. And it seems like it's tough, like, who to blame, right? But, like, I think on Sony's end, I don't think they really accounted for being stabbed in the back. And you always got to account for being stabbed in the back because this is money. It's a business. Honestly, I was shocked at how bold Xbox was in tweeting out, like, oh, don't worry, because, like, ours are going to be perfect. I'm like, are they? Because I have I just feel like it's so wild out here that you really want to be careful. On 2020 is infamous in terms of games of people promising things and then failing somehow. So now no one wants to really say anything. And it's just, it's been a lot, but I got my pre-order at Walmart.
I'm sure they got a lot of pre-orders because they decided to go first. It is definitely a strange scenario. And I feel for everyone out there who was caught off guard, who did believe we were being told the truth, that we wouldn't be surprised, and are now in this constant F5.
That sounds so sad.
Refreshing. Yeah. But yeah, like Janet, like you said, I'm right there with you. I'm used to Nintendo doing this. I've bought enough Marvel and Star Wars movie tickets early to know that there it's all anarchy. There's so much to talk about when it comes to the games lineup for the PlayStation 5. Before we talk about any specific games from that reveal event or any other PS5 games to come, I do want to just quickly mention we don't have a full launch lineup confirmed yet. I'm sure a few games will sort of trickle out over the next few weeks and whatnot. There's still some like holiday labeled games like The Pathless and Bugsnax and a few others that don't have exact release dates. But at least for now, from Sony first party publishing and development, on launch day, we're going to get Astro's Playroom, which is pre-installed on all PS5s, Demon's Souls, which is coming at launch, Destruction All-Stars, which is made by Lucid Games and the XDev side of Sony for $70 as well. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales, which will be $50 for the base price, as well as an Ultimate Edition, which comes with a Spider-Man for PS4 remaster for PS5. That will cost $70. And then Sackboy, A Big Adventure, which is being developed by Sumo Digital and XDev, which will be $60. Just on the first-party side, I think this is a pretty solid first-party lineup, the cross-gen stuff aside, which we can get to in a second. But especially compared to the PS4 launch, which was like Killzone, Shadowfall, and Knack. And I don't know if I'm forgetting anything, but that was the PS4 launch. I think Spider-Man and Demon's Souls is a pretty great way to start the PS5's life.
No, it's great. It's like, I love the fact that like Max and I in particular are going to get these consoles on day one and then spend the next several days like getting our asses kicked in Demon's Souls.
I'm really excited to throw that new controller. I'm just like, that's right? Gonna just...
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm so excited for this game. Like, I very lightly dabbled in the original. I think it was a PS Plus at one point, and I was like, I will check out this incredibly hard game I don't understand. And then I was like, no, thank you, and just uninstalled it. But like, this looks so obscenely gorgeous. I think the thing that keeps blowing my mind is like watching this gameplay. This straight up looks like one of those fake gameplay segments, like when they revealed The Division, you know, where it's like way too clean. It's like way too good looking. But I think it's actually going to look like this, probably with like a little bit of HUD. But like, I'm just sort of, I guess, aghast that I get to explore this world. Like I get to poke around and just, and I'm also like, the more I think about it, like, ooh, I can't wait to see what the load times are like.
I agree. I have like, so I played Demon's Souls back in the day, back in, I think it was 2010, right before I was going to move to Australia to start as the editor for PSM3 magazine, Australia. Right. So that was my, like, that was my journey into like official video game editorial. And I love that now I'm at IGN and it's kind of come full circle and I can finally hopefully finish this damn thing because, you know, at the time I was like, this is, I mean, I got, you know, I played maybe 20 hours, right? Like, but 20 hours of just, it was my first Souls game and I just did not know the rhythms. And I think that now I'm slightly, you know, I'm hardened in every sense of the word. And I'm really excited to jump back in on, you know, this next gen machine. The thought of playing a Souls game on a PlayStation 5 just makes me giddy.
Yeah, it looks stunning. It's, you know, Blue Point is no stranger to being pretty good at knowing how to remake a game. And so this is like a really exciting out of the gate thing to have on day one. It was one of those things where we talked about this on the live show. We learned this was a launch game from a Keighley tweet. Like, this was not in the trailer. The trailer also said it was coming to PC. And then after the fact, a Sony spokesperson reached out and was like, actually, that was an error. It's not coming to PC. So as of right now, it is a PS5 exclusive launch day one. Like, this is going to be, I think, a really, really exciting foray into next gen and feel like a proper next gen new experience. I can't wait to jump in and, like Max said, probably break a DualSense or two in the process. Of course, the other big launch game on the Sony side, I'm excited by all the games that are coming first party wise, but I obviously in particular am excited for Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales. And I want to talk about that game in particular, but I do want to talk about the sort of elephant in the room of it all. And I know, Janet, you had some thoughts I pretty much agree with on the whole, I think, on Twitter. But with the announcement of this, they confirm that this is also coming to PlayStation 4. So you do not need to buy a PS5 to play Spider-Man, which is a thing we have been saying for a while, because Sony essentially had said, we believe in generations. We are looking at all first party games coming forward to be next gen. And along with this, they also confirmed that Horizon Forbidden West and one other game, and I don't want to forget which one, Sackboy: A Big Adventure, which is also coming on launch, are all going to also come to PS4, but have PS5 upgrades, 4K, 60 frame per second, targeted, whatnot, DualSense capabilities. At the end of the day, and Jen, I'll let you go all in on this right after. At the end of the day, you know, it makes total sense on a business side, and so I totally don't blame them. My biggest gripe is just, I wish they weren't saying the opposite. I wish they just hadn't spent these months saying, we are moving to the next generation, if that wasn't going to be the case, because it does feel a little insincere to do that. That said, again, it's a business. They're going to want to make money. There's 100 million plus people who have PS4s, and a lot of them bought Spider-Man. No surprise they want them to buy this Spider-Man.
It's, you know, it's interesting. Spider-Man, it doesn't surprise me at all. Like, I don't think there was ever part of my brain that was like, yeah, this is going to be exclusive to PlayStation 5. I don't know why. I think because we'd seen, first of all, I mean, I played Spider-Man on PlayStation 4. Like, I know that it's on there. And we saw that tech demo way back in the day of like what Spider-Man looks like running on PS5 versus PS4. And it's like, oh, the load times are more impressive. But like structurally, that's a PS4 game. I guess that city was built with PlayStation 4 in mind. They probably had PS5 kind of, you know, they put a pin in that and they were like, let's think a little bit ahead. But like for the most part, I mean, not for the most part, for its entirety, the original Spider-Man was built for PlayStation 4. And Miles Morales is like, let's, you know, put some on top of that. But like, I'm guessing that, like, I don't know the logistics of how this stuff works, but like, it doesn't surprise me in the least that they're like, okay, there's going to be this small group of people who are going to play this thing on day one. Let's make something really cool and shiny for them that eventually more people will play. But also, let's not leave out that massive, massive group of people over here. However, for Horizon, it totally killed my hype. Like, I was
same. I'm disappointed in myself for it killing my hype because I do want as many people to be able to play video games as possible, right? Like that is the ultimate goal for us all. Like video games should be for everyone. If someone can't afford a PlayStation 5, but they have a PlayStation 4, stoked for them that they get to play the new Horizon. But at the same time, what does that mean in terms of concessions made for that game? Because I was, you know, I've blown this trumpet. Is that the right phrase? I don't know. I've marched this march for a long time.
Bang that drum.
I banged the drum. That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
Tooted the trumpet.
Got a whole band over there.
Tooted that drum marching along the street. You know,
as the ants marched.
I really want I wanted Horizon to be a game that we saw sort of midway through the PS5's life cycle because I wanted to see how far Guerrilla could push that tech. Especially because Horizon Zero Dawn really, what to me was the game. That made me go, God, the PlayStation 4 is incredible, and what it can do is incredible. And I wanted to see that generational leap on the PlayStation 5, but knowing that it's also going to be in the PS4 makes me kind of bummed out. And you know, I'd love to hear more from Guerrilla in terms of how they're planning to make those games and what differences we're going to see. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
Yeah.
I really wanted the next Horizon to be, you know, a showcase for what the PS5 can do.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. I just like, you know, I'm ending my sort of rant on a little bit.
I'm totally on the same spot with you. Like I've been, you know, open about this, but like the first Horizon, I recognize it as like a massive technical achievement. And I think it's impressive, but it like, for a variety of reasons, just didn't quite grab me. However, the idea of like, hey, let's see what this team does with a brand new system, like completely cut loose and turn loose. And like, I was really interested in that on sort of like, what do you do? Like there's a long track record of second installments of video games being like phenomenal upgrades of the first iteration, because that's how software works. And I don't know, I guess I was just sort of to hear that this is going to be still sort of obligated to like adhere to, you know, last gen tech is, you know, we've seen those games that get teased at launch, like where it's like, oh, like this is coming soon. And it's like, this is going to be like 3 years out. You know, like I was sort of prepared for it to be one of those situations where they're like, yeah, Horizon, you know, Forbidden West. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was expecting that to be like for PlayStation 4. I don't think we got dedicated, true, like full on PlayStation 4 games until like 2014, 2015. Like there were obviously games that were PS4 games, but it didn't feel like I think the first one that I was like, that's what I was promised was Arkham Knight. Like seeing that in action and being like, there it is. Like that's like the amount of crap flying around, just like the speed and the scale of it. And that same year we got that was the tail end of 2014. Then we got like, you know, Bloodborne and Witcher 3 and Phantom Pain, and like 2015 felt like a really just a landmark year for sort of PS4. And that was, you know, that was 2.5 years after it came out. So like I guess I'm willing to sort of take some concessions with whatever the launch lineup is. I'm really hoping that Demon's Souls feels like a step forward in some sense, because it is being apparently developed with this hardware specifically in mind. But you know, there's that understanding that like Miles Morales, no matter how exclusive it was going to be to PS5, which apparently it isn't, that's still built on the architecture of a PS4 game. And that's, you know, that's how it is.
Yeah, and the reality of it is we're probably, like you were saying, Max, not going to get the true like next-gen experiences on the regular until a few years in. Before we move off this topic, Jen, I did just want to, if you have anything to add.
Basically same on a lot of like levels. I would say that I wasn't expecting Miles to be a PS4 game, mostly because, as the trend is, because Sony told me it wasn't, I figured that they would be telling the truth, which was another mistake to make. But yeah, I mean, I think this totally puts a damper on the PS5 launch, in the sense that I can no longer justify my purchase with being like, this is to play Miles Morales. Like, that's still going to be what I play day one, but I could definitely play that with just my PS4. And that's kind of a bummer. I do think it's really important to make, though, a distinction between the conversations we've had on this show about PlayStation in general losing exclusives to PC, and how it's like, oh, well, you didn't have a problem with that, so like, what's the big deal here? That's totally apples and oranges. That's a case where that game has already been exclusive for a really long time. It is going to PC, which is not a direct competitor with PlayStation in the sense that it's on a console. So that's just something I want to point out, because I do think people might wonder, why is one thing bad but another isn't? And it totally contradicts the messaging, right? This whole idea of next gen, like, oh, I can't use my DualShock 4, but I can play Miles on my PS4 or on my PS5. Like, I think we all know that whenever companies say this game can only, oh, you need the most sophisticated of hardware, we couldn't possibly, you know, ruin the art to do this thing, we all know it's kind of BS. You just want to sell me a thing, and I've accepted that. But this kind of just shows it's blatantly like not true, where you're like, actually, we can do it, because of course we can. We just sometimes don't want to, because we are selling a new thing and want you to buy the new thing and have new games and new peripherals. But this does feel like a little bit of a slap in the face in that sense, because it does contradict the messaging so much. And it is just very odd that they didn't mention it in the presentation, which at first made me feel like maybe they feel this is bad news, but they didn't mention so many things that were worth mentioning that theory kind of went out the window. But yeah, I'm definitely disappointed in that. Essentially, they have a few things left, like Demon's Souls, which, you know, it is still like a remake, though, so I don't really find that one to be as poignant. Sackboy, I feel like no one's really too hyped for Sackboy, as sad as it is to say. So
there's one guy like yelling at his stereo right now. He's in the car. I want to talk about Sackboy.
But that was the vibe. Like, I remember playing that on my PS3, you know, and it was a fun time. I had a good time playing Little Big Planet games when they were, you know, made by not Sumo Digital, no shade to Sumo Digital. But yeah, that's kind of an older IP that sort of isn't enticing.
Janet, that is some shade to Sumo Digital. Just I just wanted to, you kind know, of. Just,
I mean, yeah. Maybe do it. But we'll see what they do. We'll see what they, like, it's not the same hype as Media Molecule. Totally, you know, totally. It just isn't. Yeah. They could still do it. Like, Ready at Dawn did Daxter, and it turned out great. We'll see. But yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, you look at the launch line above the PS5 and the Xbox Series X and S. They're next gen models, and they're both like kind of similarly weak if you mark the fact that a lot of their games are cross gen. And that's just kind of a bummer, because there's not really a lot to be excited about. But that's kind of how all launches are, so you kind of just take it and you just deal with it. But this easily could have been really dope, but it wasn't. So a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, the biggest game I feel like arguably at the PS4 launch was probably Black Flag, and you could play that on last gen if you wanted to. So it definitely happens every gen. This isn't a new situation. I think for me, it's just the like, they didn't have to say the other thing was the case when this was the case all along.
This time it's different.
No, that's
in
definitely
the sense
some
that
like
it's the same.
That's like some Obi-Wan Kenobi marketing to be like, well, what we said was true from a certain point of view. Yes, it is a PlayStation 5 game that you can play on other systems. Okay,
well, I tweeted this out, but it does feel like from the beginning of like, and this is not just a Sony thing, it's a Microsoft thing as well. Like, I just feel like the whole next gen hype marketing cycle that we've experienced this time around has been akin to like just falling down a hill. Like, it just feels like the plans sort of, there was a plan here and then that changed, and then there was a plan here and then the messaging was this and then that changed to that, and like Jeff Keighley was involved and Wired magazine was involved, and it was just, and then there were leaks. It was just like, it's just been chaos. And I know that, you know, it's been a chaotic year. So I don't find it particularly surprising, but nothing has been straightforward in this next gen marketing cycle. It's just been absolute madness. And the fact that we're here at all is pretty impressive with consoles that are theoretically being pre-ordered.
It's definitely
how exciting.
Been
it's a Christmas miracle is what it is.
We'll see if it is. We still have a few months to go. But yeah, it does create that weird situation of like, I can't always know if you're telling the truth to me right now, which is not a great place to be, especially because for me at least, and I think a lot of people, the most exciting reveal of that event was a new God of War is coming next year. And they announced it only for PS5. But secretly in the back of my head, I'm like, but will it also come to PS4? Because Horizon is coming next year to PS4, so I don't know. I'm really excited. It obviously, to me, seems to be the proper follow-up. Like, it seems to be a sequel because it, without spoiling anything, is playing off of the endgame teases of the first God of War on PS4. So this very much feels like the next sequel, but I also don't know if that's going to then be on PS4, and then does it mean it's not fully taking advantage of PS5? It's just... Yeah,
we've seen this thing with how things are titled, like the nomenclature, and it's, you know, huge in movies and it's big. Like, we used to get Assassin's Creed 2 and now we get like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And it's like, you know, when a numbered entry comes along, we're like, oh, this is the one you sit up and pay attention to. But when it's just got a weird name at the end of it, it's kind of hard to tell. Like, I mean, Spider-Man Miles Morales across the board has had just really confusing marketing. And we're still like, okay, so it's like, it's a brand new game, but it's like not as big of a, it's like two thirds of, it's like, not, it's a full game, but it's less money and not as long, but it's still a full game. But it's like, is it Spider-Man 2 or is it Spider-Man? Like, is this Far Cry 4? Is this Far Cry Blood Dragon? You know, like,
yeah.
And it's that, it's that weird problem. Like, again, is God of War Ragnarok, is that a half measure or is that a full installment?
But, and they actually haven't. So this is, you know, everyone's been colloquially calling it that. They didn't put a title in the trailer. They just say Ragnarok is coming and are like, there's a new God of War on the way. And so, yeah, it is one of those things where I don't know if this is the next sequel. God of War was technically a sequel, but also a reboot. So it didn't have a number. It's names don't mean anything anymore, but when it comes to numbered entries. But yeah, alternatively, Final Fantasy 16 was announced. But also people are very focused on Final Fantasy 14 right now, but Final Fantasy 15 is finished. So who knows what number.
What about 7 Part 2, the second time they did it?
Exactly.
It's a Crash 4 game, but there's been like
70 other crashes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a weird time to name games. But yeah, I wanted to ask sort of before we got into sort of a wrap up, anything else big that really stuck out to any of you from the reveal event? I know that I believe Janet, you might have put it in. I don't know who did, but obviously the PlayStation Plus collection, which I'll just set up and let you discuss, but it's essentially a new addition to PlayStation Plus. On day one for PS5, it's a free edition. You don't have to pay extra for it. You get a library of PS4 classic games to download and play on your PS5.
Yeah, this is awesome. It definitely feels like, kind of as we titled it in our article that Miranda had wrote up to kind of explain how this collection works, that it seems like Sony's answer to Game Pass and trying to give more value to its customers who are already like looped into whatever subscription system they have or online system they have. It has like all these PS4 hits, which is one thing, you know, despite the fact that I'm like, I don't want my PS5 games on my PS4, but I do want my PS4 games on my PS5. It doesn't have to make sense. It's fine. So I'm really excited that you just get all these games for free. Though admittedly, looking at the list, I'm like, there's not a lot left that I haven't played just because I played a lot of the PS4 library. I'd probably dig into Infamous Second Son. I don't know if I want to get burned by Uncharted again because I had my whole Uncharted trilogy fiasco. So we'll see if I dig into that. But it has all the major hits. Persona 5's on there. Like, it's just this massive list of really awesome games that still admittedly cost a decent amount of money to play that people can just get in on. It's a great reason to get a PS5 if you didn't have a PS4, because you can sort of have the best of both worlds where you can dig into the hit library of the PS4 while also experiencing the next gen. It's just such a smart, exciting, automatic win play for them. And what I'm really looking forward to is how they're going to be continuing to build upon this in this gen. You know, are we going to see, you know, the hits of PS5 like roll into those throughout the year? Like, I'm really hoping that they beef up what they do with PlayStation Plus. And I think this is the first step for them doing that.
Yeah, I think this is huge. I've often said on the show, like, I'm jealous of anybody who waited to buy a PS4. And now I'm just like, I'm jealous of anybody who just skipped PS4 entirely. Cause day one, you're like, yeah, here's the new, yeah, I get this weird new curvy box and I pay, what is it? Like, it's like 60, 70 bucks a year. And then you have this massive library of, like, I can't even, like, part of me is, like, excited about this. And I've played more than, like, I've played most of these games. There's a few I haven't, yeah, you know, but to sit down and be like, what's, like, that feeling of getting a brand new console, and then you're like, oh, well, there's the launch lineup. It's, you know, it's okay. It's always like, you know, it's, you get your Assassin's Creed Black Flag or your Killzone Shadowfall or your Resogun, like, this game that you're like, yeah, it's not the thing that made me buy it, but it'll do. But then to sit down and be like, well, I never played Bloodborne, like, and then here it is with faster load times, presumably. Like, I want to see if these are optimized at all.
Yeah.
But at the very least, I think it bodes really well for whatever their approach to backwards compatibility is. If it's as simple as like what they did with the Xbox One, and they would gradually just kind of cart out like, hey, these have been optimized. You can now download these old 360 games on your Xbox One. And it's not all of them. And some of them, you know, don't work, which is a bummer. But like, that's a step in the right direction. That's cool.
Yeah,
I agree. Guys, I've got to bounce.
Good. Thank you.
But look, this has been an utter delight. It's very nice to be back. Next time I'm on the show, I'll be in a brand new apartment.
Ooh,
can't wait.
No more Last of Us window.
But I hope you open your next apartment. There's just a rowboat in the background just bobbing up and down.
I'll
make that happen. I'm going to make that happen somehow. All right, bye. Bye, you beautiful people.
Red, you switched it so easily. I was,
wow.
Red, our producer, I was totally expecting.
God, I thought she would never leave.
Yeah, let's, time to talk about Lucy.
Discussion.
Yeah.
It's now just like when we used to do it in the studio and Lucy would have to bounce, like, just early. Like.
Well, she's got to move apartments this time, so I don't blame her. But yeah, sort of on the note of, like, things we don't know, backward compatibility wise, it's still a question. We still didn't get a full answer on that. This PlayStation Plus collection is a good step in the right direction. And Jim Ryan told the Washington Post that 99% of PS4 games will work. So chances are, beyond like annual games, yeah, and maybe a few weird oddities beyond, it'll work pretty well if you want to play a PS4 game on PS5, it sounds like. But also interesting of note that he said, though, in this interview was that they expect to continue supporting the PS4, and the PS4 community will be, quote, incredibly important to us for 3 or 4 years, which is, if we go by this generation, more than half of the next gen life cycle that they still. And obviously, this is a thing that, like, Nintendo famously said, you know, the pillars of their focus would always be last gen. When they moved on to the Wii, they'd always still care about the GameCube, and then the Game Boy, they'd care about the DS. And then as soon as they were successful, they're like, nah, actually, bye. That's true up until the point where the PS5, you know, becomes tremendously successful, if that's what happens.
I mean, but this year was the final year, or the first year, that Just Dance was not released for Wii.
So sad.
Yeah.
Like, that was, I love that at E3 2019, I think that was the only Wii game on display.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's weird. My thing I'm curious about with this sort of weird, you know, promise of when a generation will stop being supported is, where does PlayStation 4 Pro fall in this? Like, are we going to see a bunch of stuff that's still supported by that, but not on a base PS4? Like,
yeah. Well, it's, you know, thinking of that, I think we did get I saw some questions on Twitter and the email. It's probably a great year to buy a PS4 Pro if you can't get a PS5 this November. Chances are Black Friday sales on PS4 Pro are going to be pretty great. So it's one of those things where I'm not surprised Sony's going to continue supporting that system for at least the next year or two. But beyond that, we'll see. Was there anything else, though, before we wrap up from the conference that you felt like was missing? Obviously, you know, we didn't really get a look at the UI, which I know, Janet, you've been looking forward to actually getting to.
I feel like such a dork. I'm like, well, I want to see what the UI looks like, but I do. Are they still going to go like up? You know, is it just going to be this, that up and down thing? Because I never know where to find anything. Maybe I'm dumb. I will cop to that possibility, but I just never know where anything exactly is. And I know people hate the Microsoft UI, but I actually find that one a little bit clearer, to be honest.
You're out of your mind. I'm looking for something. That's not
I know, UI, but
I know.
Teach
but
their own.
I don't. I find it kind of useful, to be honest. And you can custom. It's like a little bit more flexible in what you can do with it. I do know that like comes with some of its own issues, and the storefront gets weird. But like, I mean, I feel like Sony's very slow to like update that. I think they like the look they have, and I think they have a very consistent branding to their company.
What are you talking about? They added folders in 2018. It was great. You could finally sort our games.
Remember when you could finally search without just typing in each individual letter?
That I was going to say the keyboard on the PSN took a decade for it to actually let you use a keyboard.
And like ever since I saw that little tease too, that I forgot who from Sony posted that like UI tease, but like it like seems so like bubbly and refreshing. Like I want to know what this looks like. But I don't know. Maybe it'll be a surprise when we all hook it up and there'll be like a million videos surfacing on the internet of people's PlayStation UIs. But
it's just the Vita UI again. Bubbles.
But how would you know it's the Vita UI though? Because who owned a Vita? So there you go.
How dare you?
How dare you? Get off the show. You're banned.
You know, actually put a Vita on
Red. Just cut her off.
Yeah. Kick her off.
No, he's so quick to do it too. I put a Vita on my Christmas list for this year and they're so expensive still that I'm like, honestly, y'all don't even feel like you have to get me this because this is like hundreds of dollars.
Are they really?
Admittedly a machine that I really don't need.
Is it the old one or the small one? Little tiny one.
Oh yeah, they did do an upgrade. You could just borrow mine for a bit. It's fine.
They're such a beautiful little machine.
Yeah, I love it.
I have the PSP, but I don't have the Vita.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it still work?
It does still work. Yeah, I still got my like little memory card in there with like the five songs that I had on there from like my high school days, and it's really awful music. It's like a random Muse song. No shade to Muse. I actually still like Muse. I think One of the Boys by Katy Perry. Very embarrassing. A Say Anything song is on there.
Nice.
And they're all like very clearly illegally downloaded as well.
What movies do you have on UMD or what half seasons of TV shows?
I don't have the case anymore, but
you have UMDs?
Yeah, I have a bunch of UMDs.
I have Ghostbusters 2.
I just got this. This is actually still in the case. I bought it from Ginger.
Oh, wow.
It's sealed.
Hey.
We got Patapon. Nice. I have two copies of Loco Roco 2 because I forgot that I bought the first one and I rebought it again. GTA Vice City. Medal of Honor. I have Hitch as for movies. I have Hitch.
Okay, that is the most PSPS thing possible.
Oh, wait. Hitch on UMD.
And then, of course, hold on. And then God of War Chains of Olympus. It's nice. Not that good, but I liked it at the time. Need for Speed Underground Rivals. And then an impulse buy of Medal of Honor Heroes. I think my brother played this for a bit. I didn't spend too much time with it. Most of these are actually original, like when I got
it. I love that we started this talking about PlayStation 5 and now we're just looking at old PSP.
I'm looking for another handheld from Sony. Like
your one sports title that doesn't have a year associated with it, because when they ported them to the PSP, they're all just like NBA. Was the name of the game. You're just like one of those away from a library.
The random, how good was Midnight Club 3 Dub Edition though? But like the random spin-off things that weren't really full games, but sort of were. Ratchet and Clank Size Matters.
Do you have Transformers?
No one can tell me I don't like Ratchet and Clank. Anyway. So I want to see the UI is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Max, anything on your end that you feel like we...
I kind of appreciate that they pumped the brakes on marketing the DualSense because it made me forget that that's a thing, and it means that I'm going to be probably really excited at whatever just nonsense gimmickry that has to go with it.
Yeah.
And the fact that I don't know, Dark Souls is PS5 exclusive, and I hope it has some incredibly corny DualSense features where like I don't know. It
feel the blade stab.
It makes it feel more like you're using a sword or whatever. The stupid thing is. I want that.
No, I'm totally with you there. I'm glad they didn't spend much time in that conference because being told how a physical thing will feel is not really a great use of a video.
With the 3D audio, where it's just like, I think I hope that they were like, we're not selling this remotely. Like, yeah, that's probably the kind of thing that would have been huge at kiosks with, like, you know, these dedicated headphones being like, try it out for yourself. But yeah, I think it's just like, focus on the games, like focus on, you know, price point.
Absolutely. Like, yes.
Yeah.
Had we all been at E3, 3D audio and DualSense would have been, I think, a much larger part of the like pre-launch lead up, but that couldn't happen. So the games have to speak for themselves, and it's definitely a lot to look forward to. I think that pretty much wraps us up for this week. Obviously, there's a ton more coverage on IGN of all the big reveals from the PS5 event, where to pre-order a PS5 and all of the accessories if you need it. Our commerce team has a huge, very robust sort of layout of all of the options, and their very fun, amusing IGN Deals Twitter, where our own Seth Macy runs it, has a lot of jokes.
I did find the copy of Hitch before.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Yeah, tune in next week. We're going to be ranking the best UMD movies to watch on your PSP.
I watched this movie so many times at my grandma's house because she didn't have like cable, and it's the only non-game thing I had to entertain myself with.
I've watched Hitch a lot of times just because I put it on TV.
There's a lot in this collection that still holds up, and Hitch is right up there.
Oh yeah.
In that.
Can I make a confession?
Yes.
I pre-ordered the remote.
Nice.
Please tell me what the hell that is. My boyfriend did the same thing because he's like, he freaking loves Sony. And I'm like, I got the remote. I got the headphone. He got like all of the stuff.
I used my PlayStation predominantly, like not predominantly, but like that is my, just until I got a smart TV, that was my dedicated way of watching stuff. Like I watch movies, I watch shows and stuff on there. Currently, I'm extremely annoyed because I want to watch like HBO Max stuff, but HBO Max doesn't have a Roku app because of 2020 licensing deals. Issues, yeah. Whatever the hell it is. And the thing I hate about watching stuff on with a PlayStation controller is that you press X to select things or to go back or whatever, but you can only use the left stick. So you have to use two hands to put on a movie, which makes it difficult.
It's like you're playing it.
Yeah. Like I want to eat a corn dog and browse Netflix and be able to do that with one hand. And all they had to do was make it so that you can move around with the right stick. Would that have killed somebody to have that in there? Like that would have been the easiest thing. You just hold your controller out like this, go like that, move your
but
thumb
then
around
they could
and
sell you the remote.
Exactly. So anyway, I bought the remote because I don't want to spend another entire console cycle doing that with two hands. I don't want to get, you know, mustard all over my shiny white DualSense.
Thank you.
The trials and tribulations of next gen.
Also, like weird anecdote is the remote has like I hate that the remotes have like baked in like shortcut buttons that you can't customize. Yeah. But it's Disney Plus, Netflix, Spotify, and what's the other one? There's something else on there.
Let me try to pull it up.
Yeah, I can check my pre-orders, I guess. But I think that's really
how big is the remote? Is it like Apple TV size? Like a
it's like
tiny
two or three
rectangle?
Feet long. It's like it's a large wand. No,
it's,
I don't know.
It's like a huge.
It has Disney Plus, Netflix, Spotify, and YouTube, which, you know, at least confirms those will be there at launch. So that's nice to know.
Yeah,
right.
That's cool.
Like, is Netflix going to be there at launch? Because I'm still waiting for that on Switch.
Switch, yeah.
That's
what
anyway.
This was nice.
we'll be back.
It was nice.
We'll be back, of course, to talk about all the hottest UMD tech to come next week on the show. But thank you, Max and Janet, for joining me this week. And thank you to Lucy, who had to jump out early. Thank you, of course, to Red, our producer, for producing this episode and listening to our shenanigans. And thank you to everyone out there watching and listening and reading all of our coverage. Obviously, there's a lot to come in the next few months, and we'll be covering all of the biggest PS5 and PS4 news on this show on IGN. So please check out all of that coverage as we go on, because it's going to be a few.
This is the fun part.
I know.
We get to talk about a new PlayStation. We get to talk about new games. We get to talk about things, not just
remotes.
Yes, we get to talk about stuff, like actual things, and there's stuff to discuss and unpack about them. It's not just like, well, we got another earnings report, and there's a leaked rumor from Walmart Portugal.
I heard
that says
someone said that they saw something that could mean something else. Maybe.
Yeah.
Data miners have found this might not be true.
The next Call of Duty has been revealed by Gatorade bottles or what you like. It's, yeah.
You will not have to hear us predict a release date for at least 4 more years until the PS5 Pro inevitably gets announced. So you're free of that. we'll be able to talk about all these games. I'm sure we're going to get, you know, little teasers and whatnot throughout the next few weeks and months. But there are so many also games coming out in the next few weeks and months on PS4. So it's going to be a busy few months. I'm really excited that we're going to have plenty to talk about over these next few months. So thank you for being along with us for this weird, weird, strange ride that 2020 has been. And I hope you'll stick around with us as we get to the fun part, as Max put it. But thank you all so much for watching and listening. Beyond is normally live every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on beyond.ign.com, youtube.com/IGNBeyond, and your favorite podcast services around the world. Please don't forget to rate and subscribe it. It helps us, you know, keep in touch with all of you. And if you have any questions or follow-up thoughts about the PS5 reveal event, please write in to beyond@IGN.com. Obviously, we didn't have time this week, but we'll hopefully dive into some of your reactions next week. But other than that, I think that wraps it up. You can follow us on Twitter at JM Dornbush for me, at Max Scoville for Max, at Luce O'Brien for Lucy, and at Game Onassis. Is that okay to pronounce it that way, Janet?
Yep.
I know people pronounce it differently, so I just wanted to check. But cool. Awesome. You can follow us all there for more PlayStation shenanigans and memes and tweets and goofs and whatnot. But otherwise, thank you so much for watching and listening. We hope you're safe. We hope you're well. And as always, beyond.
Beyond.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.